John McMullen, welcome you to another of my radio rants. That's actually the third attempt at this particular rant. I was not happy with the sound on the first two. Hopefully this will be better. I expect it to be. In my last radio rant, I mentioned Ellen Muldery and Mary Shea as two of my favorite parents growing up in New York City. There were actually two more. There was Rita McQuaid, who was the mother of my good friend Patty McQuaid, and also of Arlene Fuzzy McQuaid, who was Rosalie on the Goldbergs television show, circa the late 50s, early 60s. And Bill McLaughlin Sr., who was the father of the late Ellen and the late Bill, who was a close friend of mine, and Kevin and Carol. And two of these figure in two of my two stories from today. Miss Melderick, who I mentioned, was a warm, emotional person, very outspoken and very friendly. Sometimes took a negative response to new friends of Frank's. And one person who, for some reason, she didn't care for, and I've changed his name to protect the almost innocent, was Ray Richmond. And he was, and for some reason she did not care for him. One Christmas day, about 1957 or 58, he and I went up to call for Frank, as was our custom to go out and to go someplace. And when we invited him to the house by Frank, the Mr. Muldery, a tall, quiet Irishman who worked for the MTA, said, "Would you boys have one with me for the holidays?" And we, of course, agreed. And he went in and he brought out this purple pouch, which, if I remember correctly, would have been Sigmund Crown Royal, his best in the house, and three shot glasses. Now, for some reason, Ray, who had an ulcer, thought that scotch was better for his stomach than rye. I don't know where he got that idea, but he was convinced. And as Mr. Muldery began to pour, he said, "Do you have any scotch?" Then you heard this voice from the kitchen. "They've got scotch down in Ryan's on Broadway." In other words, if you don't like what we're serving here, get out. So she was always outspoken. Well, in 1958, she invited Frank to have a New Year's party in the house. It was a way, obviously, to keep us from going out and drinking someplace else and possibly get him in trouble. And it was a couple's party. Well, the night began when Bob Gorman, who didn't go out with girls very often, the late Bob Gorman, was coming in with a girl, Betty Moran, an attractive redhead, who had gone out then later married Billy Leslie from the neighborhood. And as they walked up the steps in the Muldery's department house foyer, and then opened the door to go up the staircase, the bucket or the glass of water fell on Bob's head. The younger kids who we had tormented and they tried to torment us in return, led by Michael Musia, the younger brother of John, who lived in a house, had put water. They had seen us coming in suits and everything, and they decided that there was a way to get back. And they put water up on the door frame, so when someone opened the door, and in this case, Bob, it would go all over him. So then up we went, and there was a bunch of us there at the party, and McLaughlin's came in, and Mr. McLaughlin sang for us. So he sang "The Road to Mandalay," as he often did, beautiful, deep voice. And at the end, his wife said, Bill, sing "King for a Day." And he said, "No, Helen, they don't want to hear that." And he sang another song. And at the end, she said the same thing, and he brushed her off again. Well, one of the people there, who I'll also change the name slightly to protect the almost innocent, Bob Barker, heard all this. Now, you have to remember, this was a time that we not only didn't use what was known as bad language, sexual terms, in front of women. We never would dream of using them in front of adults. So when he sang again, and at the end, it was the same thing, and Bob said, fuck it, Bill, sing "King for a Day." And we all, moving out of the room and covering our heads, we can't believe he said this. And without missing the bite, Bill sang "King for a Day." The tide later, Miss Melder came into the room, and Bob was doing something that he didn't think she'd approve of, probably kissing the young lady he was with. And he put his hand up his face. She said, "Bob Barker, if I had a face like you, I'd be covering it too." And we all laughed. And eventually the night wore down with singing and drinking and dancing and kissing and all sorts of things. And I was on my way out to bring the girl home through the section to the Bronx. And Mike Ryan was going down to the Greenwich Village area with his girl, but we agreed to come back to the Melderig's house for a last one to finish up the evening and then go home. So I came back after a while, knocked on the door, and I went in and everyone was cleaning up. There was no one there but the Melderig's. And Miss Melderig's said, "Yes, everyone home." Just, well, Mike said that he was going to come back to meet me. "I'm sure he's not here." And she said, "No, he's not." And then seeing my perplexed expression, she said, "But you could look around if you'd like." In other words, the real put down. So I did. I looked all around. But when I was opening the whole closet to look for him, she had enough, and she suggested that it was time for you to go home. So I went home. That was 1958. And many of my friends are no longer with us, some very good people. And the rest of us go on, and we talk regularly, and some are in different parts of the country, and some are here. But it was a pull of the neighborhood. We were all, the ones who were close, a small group, all went to college, or at least started college, and kept in touch. When Bob Cummings died, Bill McLaughlin, who had retired, wanted to go out to Houston to the funeral. Bob was the first of our friends to die. So a bunch of us shipped in to send him. And when I couldn't reach one fellow, Todd Roach, I didn't reach him until after Bill was gone. And his immediate reaction, and I hadn't spoken to Todd in 4 or 5 years, was, "Why didn't you just put me up? Just tell me what to send." And then that's the way it's been ever since. The last time we were all together, including the people who aren't with us anymore, was 30 years ago when we had a relay race from Manhattan to Mayapack. And a bunch of my folks ran, and a bunch of and all the rest came to the party after. So it was a very good time, and the memories. I smile whenever I think of the memories, or I pass them on to other people. I'm going to go out now with the song that we used to listen to on Sunday mornings. It was the Horn and Hardart's Radio Hour, starring Ed Hurley, And it brought us back. It still brings me back to my New York roots.
East side, west side, all around the town. The tops and ring a rosy. London Bridge is falling down. Played the organ on the sidewalks of New York.